We're continuing in the Word, and today I want to complete our study that we began last week, reflecting on Ephesians chapter 3. And our objective in this study is fourfold. First, it is for you to take a hold of the truth that Christ himself is living in you. And if we would let him, he will live through you. Secondly, for you to take a hold of the unsearchable riches that are yours in Christ. We want to take a hold of those unsearchable riches that belong to us in Christ. And thirdly, for us to take a hold of the authority that we have over the devil and the kingdom of darkness, and to execute that authority. And then fourth and finally, that we would come out of this study having a vehement pursuit of being established in Christ and being established in the nature of God. Amen? The scripture says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 and 14, "Not that I've already attained," Paul said, "nor am I already perfect, but I press on that I may lay a hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid a hold on me." And then in verse 14, it goes on to say, "I press towards the mark. I press towards the goal for the prize of the high calling, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Amen? So there is a pursuit that we must have in functioning in the nature of God, being established in righteousness, in the love of God, and so on. So let us just pray along that line. And because in all of this, we are talking about the will of God. Christ in you is the will of God. Getting hold of the unsearchable riches of Christ for the glory of God is the will of God. Amen? It is the will of God. Recognizing your authority and executing that authority over the enemy is the will of God. And pressing on in Christ and in the things of God is the will of God. Amen? So let's just pray according to, or rather, from Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 through to 14. I'm just going to pray this. Father, in the name of, let's stand for a moment. Father, for this reason, in the name of Jesus, we cease not to pray, and we ask, and we cry out, and we call unto you, that you would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you would fill us with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and in all spiritual understanding, that we may walk worthy of the Lord, that we might walk upright and correctly in the gospel and in the finished work of Christ, that we would walk in a manner that would be so fully pleasing unto you, that we would be fruitful in every good work, and we would be ever increasing in the knowledge of you. Father, strengthen us with might by the power of your Holy Spirit. According to your glorious power, Lord, strengthen us in the areas of our patience and in the fruits of the Spirit. Cause us to be so established in your nature. And Father, we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory. Because we know that we are qualified not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but it is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his very sacrifice that has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So, Father, we just rejoice and we bless your name that you have delivered us out of the power of darkness and you have translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son, in whom we now have redemption, and we have the forgiveness of sins. We have everlasting life. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Lord God, you've even given unto us the unsearchable riches of Christ. And the very power that raised up Christ from the dead dwells within us. So Lord, strengthen us in our innermost being, that we would get a hold of these things, get a hold of these truths, that our hearts would be enlarged, and that we would run with them in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise and glory, thanksgiving and honor in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's have a seat. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's begin by turning to Ephesians chapter 3. And let us pick up from there and go on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come up higher. Is what God was said to John in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. Come up higher. All right. So Ephesians chapter 3, reading from verse 1. Paul says, for this reason, I, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. What reason? The reason is, you see, God by his Holy Spirit is building us all into a permanent habitation for himself. She says, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which has been given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in this mystery of Christ, which in other ages it was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed, and as it is now being unveiled by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. Say in Christ. Aren't you? Isn't it wonderful to know that that's where you live? In Christ. Say it again. That you might be made partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, say now, now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, say us, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through the faith of him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we've talked about the fellowship of the mystery. The fellowship of the mystery. Paul said he has an assignment, and it is to make all men see, grasp, comprehend, and recognize what is the fellowship of this mystery and what is this unsearchable riches of Christ. That they would know and grasp what is their share and their intimate participation both in the mystery of Christ, both in that mystery and in the unsearchable riches of Christ. So the mystery, what is this mystery? It says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, Christ in you is the mystery. Christ in you is the mystery. This is the mystery that was hidden God from before the foundation of the world. This is what God had planned, ordained, and had in mind from before the foundation in the world. That Christ himself might come and live on the inside of us. And when we were born again, that became our experience, and that became the reality that you and I entered into. So that Christ is now in us from the moment we got born again. Romans chapter 8 verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. You know, you might act like you're in the flesh at times. You might be a little bit fleshy. But don't, but know for sure. Don't have any doubt or question about it. You are not in the flesh. You don't live there. You are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Is the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Well, then you are in the Spirit. And if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, then he is not of his. He doesn't belong to God. He is still lost. But you have the Spirit of Christ because you believed on Jesus. All right. Now, it's one thing to have Christ living in you, which is yours, just as you got born again. But it is another thing to have Christ living through you. So Christ is in us. But Christ that is in us, we are to let him. We are to allow him to live through us. And him living through us is the very will of God. You see, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, which is the mystery. Christ in you is also the will of God. Christ is the will of God for us. Do you know that? Amen? He is the will of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Christ himself is the will of God. You see, he laid down his life. In him is the very demonstration of what the will of God looks like. So you and I must also lay down our life. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. And we are to arm ourselves with this mind. Not to live the rest of our life for the will of men or even for our own will, but for the will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. For he that would suffer in the flesh and say no to self has ceased from sin and has ceased from functioning in a place of separation from God. Are you with me? This is the will of God, even our sanctification. This yieldedness to the Spirit of God, this abandonment to the life of Christ that is in us, this abandonment to the nature of God. And herein is the true prosperity. This is where it flows out of, that yieldedness to the Spirit of God, that letting Christ live in us, but letting Christ live through us. Amen? The Spirit of God wants you to know and wants you to receive that you have a fellowship with this mystery. This mystery of Christ in you. You've got a fellowship. You've got an intimate participation in this. And he wants you to know it, but he wants you to live it. He wants you to live the reality that Christ is in you. Amen? Amen? He wants you to live like this. Why? Because it is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. This is the pathway that God has ordained by which he is able to manifest his glory, by which he is able to cause his goodness to be made manifest in your life and become your experience and testimony. Christ in you is the hope of glory. The glory of God is the very essence of who he is, is the very essence of his being. And God wants the essence of himself manifested in you and through you. That's why Christ in you is the hope of glory. You see, Jesus did not just come to get you and I saved and get us a plane ticket, but get us a ticket to heaven. Jesus came, as scripture says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, to bring many sons to glory. Amen? You and I, you are the reason for his suffering. You are the reason for his suffering. You know, the scripture says, because of the, for what would follow in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11, what would follow his suffering? You were what was following his suffering because of what was going to come hereafter is you. You are the very reason why he did what he did. You are the glory that followed his suffering. You are the result of Christ's suffering. Think of that for a moment. Amen? You are the joy that was set before him. That is why he endured the cross. So it is important that now that we live, we should no longer live for ourselves. Because we only live because he died. And the scripture says, we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So that they which live should no longer live for themselves, but ought to live for him who died for them and rose again. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. Think about it. So this is the will of God, your absolute abandonment to him. Christ is the will of God, and Christ is the mystery of God. And when Christ can, when we can yield to him, allow him to live through us, then what will happen is we will come to experience that he is the hope and the confident expectation of you having the manifestation of the goodness of God in your life. He is the hope of glory. Are you with me? Christ himself, he is the fulfillment of the promises of God. In him, all the promises are yes and amen. Let me turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 to 10 for a moment. 2 Timothy. Hallelujah. Read it from verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If we can look into our born-again spirit, you will not find any fear in your spirit. You will not find any darkness whatsoever in your spirit. What you will find is the DNA of God. What you will find that is Christ himself is your life. What you will find in your spirit is power, love, and a sound mind. What you will find in your spirit as man has been created in righteousness and true holiness. What you will find is the love of God as has been shed abroad in your heart. What you will find is the faith of God. What you will find is the patience of Christ. What you will find is kindness. What you will find is the very glory of God, where Jesus says, Father, the glory you have given me, I've given them. That's what's in your born-again spirit. The very essence of him. So God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he has given you a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. Therefore, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. This gospel will expose you to some challenges, to some suffering, to some misunderstandings, to some persecution. But deal with it like a good soldier. Deal with it by the power of God. Don't shrink back. Don't draw back. You don't have that kind of spirit whereby you are intimidated by anything. Amen? It is God who has saved you and called you with a holy calling. He has spoken things concerning your life. And in the realm of the spirit, you are saved, healed, whole, prosperous, blessed. And he did it not according to your works, not according to your humanity, not according to your background, not according to any of those things, but according to his own purpose and his own grace, which was given to us in Christ before the world began. So here is the deal. Before the world began in Christ, God gave you all the salvation in all of its dimensions in Christ before the world began. In Christ, before the world began, God called you with a holy calling, and God spoke things concerning you before the world began. In Christ, God has purpose for your life, and that purpose has already been given before the world began in Christ. And the grace to accomplish it all has been given in Christ before the world began. It's all yours. You got it all. But now here is verse 10. But it is revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, it comes into manifestation and it comes into a place where you can begin to experience it at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning the moment you got born again. But beyond that, what happened is Christ in you must be unveiled. You must function in that nature of Christ, which is the will of God. And as you function in the will of God, as you function in the nature of God, then all of these things that are already yours, given to you before the foundation in the world, then these things will begin to be made manifest. All of the salvation, all of the healing, all of the deliverance, all of the fulfillment of the blessings of the Lord and the promises of God, all that God has spoken concerning you, all of his calling, everything that he has called you to, all of the liberty he has called you to, the fellowship he's called you to, the holiness he's called you to, the grace of Christ that he has called you to, the eternal life that he has called you to, the glory that he's called you to, all of his calling, all of his purpose, that you might destroy the works of the enemy and rule over them. Amen. all of the grace, the abundance of his sufficiency, his enablement, his empowerment, all of it begins to come into manifestation as you function in Christ. That is the will of God. Are you with me? That is why Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. The hope of the very excellency of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, I received this. Now, that is what you're really talking about when we talk about walking in the Spirit. That's what we're talking about. Christ living in you, Christ living through you, you being totally abandoned to him and functioning in his nature. Where, you are so walking in the Spirit, you are so functional in the Spirit that get this out. You give up the flesh. You give up the flesh, you reckon it dead. Because after all, you're not a debtor to the flesh to live after the flesh. The scripture says if you live after the flesh, you shall die. And if you indeed you live in the Spirit, it says in Galatians 5:25, you ought to walk after the Spirit. Amen? This is how this Christian life is to be lived. You've got to take a hold of Christ in you. How do you do that? By faith. Say by faith. By faith means you got to believe it. It means you got to speak it. And it means you got to act like it. Always remember this scripture. Hebrews 4 verse 2. And let this scripture be, a cornerstone in your life. Hebrews 4 verse 2 says, the gospel, the word, the promises preached. They heard it, but it did not profit them because it was not mixed by faith. Even though they heard the word, even though they heard the gospel, even though they heard the promises, because they didn't mix it with faith, it didn't benefit them. They didn't mix it with believing it and speaking it and acting like it is the truth. So you got to remember that. Always remember that verse of scripture. So when you get a revelation or you get some particular truth of the word of God, don't just leave it there. Yes, rejoice over it, but you must mix faith with that promise. You must mix faith with that truth that you got a hold of. Which means what? You must decide, I believe that. And then you got to start speaking it as being so. Call those things that be the way they are in the realm of the Spirit. And then you got to act like it. Amen? Sometimes all you can do to act like it is to just rejoice and give thanks. Well, do that. Sometimes there's a more tangible corresponding action you can give, by all means. But it is by faith that these things work. Christ is in you, but you must mix it with faith. The scripture says in Colossians 2 verse 6, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. How? By faith. How you got saved? By faith. How are you going to live this Christian life? By faith. By believing, by speaking, by acting like it. It says the just shall live by faith. That means shall live. The just shall have the Zoe life of God by faith. The just shall live and enjoy and walk this life out that God has given him in his Spirit by faith. By believing it, by speaking it, and acting like it is so. That is both the truth and the simplicity of the gospel. Let no man deceive you by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils and pull you away from the simplicity of the truth of the gospel. Believe according as it is written, and therefore speak and act like it is so. Hallelujah. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am right with God, even as God is right. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So let's continue. Let's pick it up in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 6. Let's pick it up from there. Glory to God. So this is what we're talking about. This mystery of Christ. We got to get a hold of that. Christ in you. And the will of God for him to live through you. Amen? Now, in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6 it says, and that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. I'm going to say something right now. First, the gospel is what you think it is. It's good news. It's a sacrifice. But the gospel is also Christ living in you and through you. Paul said in Galatians 1, verse 15 and 16, that when God brought me out from my mother's womb, it was for this purpose, that I might preach, that he might reveal his son in me, and that I might preach him among the Gentiles. But Paul, I thought you're supposed to preach the gospel. Paul says, yes, I am. I am to preach him revealed in me among the Gentiles. Him revealed in me is the gospel. Christ revealed in you and living through you. So here Paul says that we the Gentiles that were without God, we are now fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise that are in Christ through the gospel. We partake of the promises and the promise through the gospel, through the reality of Christ in us, through the sacrifice of Christ. Now, this is really important. Can you imagine for a moment? Here you are, you have a promise of divine healing and health. All right? Suppose somehow you can get Christ that is in you to rise up and live through you and take a hold of that promise of divine health. What do you think will happen? All right. Christ in you is the fulfillment of all the promises of God. In other words, if he's allowed to do it, if he is allowed to live through you, it is so wonderful. That is the price, that is what God has ordained. Does it not say in Galatians 2, verse 20, that you have been what? Crucified with Christ, and it's no longer you that live, but it's what? Christ that liveth in you, and the life you now live, how do you live it? You live it by the faith of the Son of God, who loved you and gave himself for you. So I am saying to you, O pig, or as whatever it may sound, it might not make sense to the natural mind, but I'm telling you by the Spirit of God that you can possess, manifest, and flow in all of the promises of God as Christ lives through you. We are partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel, which is Christ in you. Are you with me? Now, it does break down to the sacrifice. I get that. But what is this promise? Well, it is the promises, but it is also the very presence of the Holy Ghost. It says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, that when Jesus hung upon that cross, he became a curse for us. And he did what? He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Say amen. Amen. Say thank you, Lord. I am redeemed from every curse of the law. Every curse is broken off of my life by the body of Christ, by what he did in the cross. It is death. I am free from every curse. And then verse 14 goes on to say that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through the promise of his Spirit. The blessing, yes, the blessing is increased. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord is prosperity and all that. But the blessing of the Lord more specifically is the promise of the Spirit. That's what Galatians 3:14 says. Which means what? It is the very promise. It is the very presence of God. Paul said, that's a side trip. Paul said in Romans chapter 15, verse 29. He says, when I come to you, I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. How could you say something like that, man? He must know something to say that I'm going to come in the fullness of the blessing. Oh, the scripture says that we might be filled with all of the fullness of God. It is the very presence of God through the person of the Holy Spirit. And it is that presence of God that causes every enemy to bow and to scatter. It is that very presence of God that is the prosperity that brings the increase. The very presence of the Spirit of God. So when we accept the gospel, what happened? Here comes the promise. Here comes the Holy Ghost. Here comes the presence of God. And here is the hope of the gospel. The hope of the gospel. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me just move on from that nevertheless. Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the... Back up. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. And then verse 7, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. Amen? Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God, and that grace works mightily in me. He says, I outwork all the other apostles, but yet not I, it is the grace that I yielded to that was in me. 1 Corinthians 15:10. That's a bonus. Verse 8, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach, teach, proclaim, explain among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to which you now have an intimate part and fellowship. What are these? What is this unsearchable riches of Christ? Unsearchable riches of Christ. The Amplified says, it is the boundless, phantomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ, the wealth which no human being could have searched out. The unsearchable riches of Christ is a number of things. Number one, it is all, say all the grace of God. Just sit there for a minute. It's all the grace of God. But what is the grace of God? The grace of God is the sufficiency of God. Remember when God said to Paul, when Paul saw the Lord three times regarding that thorn of flesh, and God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. So the grace is sufficiency for thee. Because the grace is God's sufficiency, my sufficiency for thee, God's sufficiency for you, because it's God's sufficiency, guess what happens if God's grace, all his grace comes to you? What's going to happen? You're going to have all sufficiency. So, Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, therefore says that God may cause all grace to abound towards you, that you may have all sufficiency and abound unto every good work. That's because the grace of God, it is the sufficiency of God, it is the enablement of God, it is the provision of God, it is all that God is and all that God has. That's unsearchable riches, wealth beyond human capacity to articulate or conceive. So as a result of that, you see, and all of that grace was given before the foundation of the world. No wonder it would say in 1 Corinthians 3 verse 21 that all things are yours. No wonder it will say that God, when he gave you Jesus, he also gave you what? All things. No wonder it will say that you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. No wonder it will say in 2 Peter 1 verse 3 that God has given unto you all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Amen? Hallelujah. Say, I'm an heir of God, and I'm a joint heir with Christ. And I'm an heir of all things. This unsearchable riches of Christ, all that God is, all that God has, I would also, you can also call it the inheritance. Say the inheritance. Now, when you were born again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says you were born again, you were begotten again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then verse 4 says, to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, that faded not away, that is reserved in that realm of the Spirit, that is reserved in heaven, that same place where you're blessed with every spiritual blessing, and it is kept by the power of God. You are born again to an infinite inheritance. That's the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, concerning that inheritance, Acts 26 and verse 18, when Paul was talking to, I think it was King Agrippa, and he said, oh God, I delivered him from the Jewish people, verse 17, as well as from the Gentiles to whom God was now sending him. And then in verse 18, what for? Why did God do this for Paul? What was the purpose of it? To go and open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and that they might receive forgiveness of sins, and that they might receive an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in him. That they would receive their forgiveness by faith, that they would receive their inheritance by faith. Remember, anything you get from God, that's the only way it comes, by faith. Say, by faith. By faith. That they might receive what? Their inheritance. That they might receive the unsearchable riches of Christ. I've titled this message, Take a Hold of What Is Yours. Take a hold of what is yours. The inheritance is something you receive the inheritance, but the inheritance is manifested by faith. Say, by faith. And what is faith again? Believing, speaking, and acting like it's so. Now, if you really believe that you have received the unsearchable riches of Christ, are you going to talk lack? Right? Sorry, let's move on. In other words, you are to think like it, talk like it, and act like it. That's how it works. That is what is necessary in order for it to be made manifest. You know, I've done personally very well in the area of healing and divine health and so on, and I thank God for that. And in a number of areas. But I have not worked the word in the financial arena to the degree that I should. I mean, yes, I'm blessed, praise God. But God's got more. Not for my greed, but so that I could be a distribution center for his resources. God has given us the power to get well that he might establish his covenant in the earth. And you know, one of the things that I've come to understand is that in the financial arena, it's the same as healing or anything else. It all works by faith. It all works when you believe it, when you believe it, and you believe it by seeing it by faith. Sitting up on the wall until you could see what it is he says. You believe it by meditating in the word of God. And then you speak it, and then you do what? Act like it's so. And by faith, faith is going to cause it to come into manifestation. Now, before it comes into manifestation, you may have absolutely no evidence that it is so except the word of God. Whether it be healing or whether it be finances or anything else. In other words, when you look for some supporting reasons or some supporting evidence that what you're believing is the truth, man, you look at the circumstances, there's headache. You look at the circumstances, the doctor's report says no. The bank report says it's not so. And I mean, you may see lack. You may see what you see around you. Nothing agrees. But you know what? The only evidence you have is the word of God. Faith comes from hearing that word. When you believe that word, then your faith becomes the evidence of those things that you're not seeing. When your faith comes to the place where it is the evidence, so that the only thing that your only reason for believing God is because he said so, that's when your faith pleases him. Quite often we operate in a pseudo faith. A faith that says I believe, but really, really, if it doesn't look like it, if it doesn't feel like it, if that pain is still there, if the symptoms are still there, then we stop believing. And so we say we're believing by faith, but in actual fact, our believing is based on sight and it's based on feelings. Faith is the evidence of the things you hope for. And then when faith is the evidence, faith will also become the substance and will give it materiality so it could be made manifest in the physical realm. Did you get that? And I'm beginning to see how true it is in the financial arena. So Paul says that you might take a hold, possess, and manifest your inheritance. How? By faith. The inheritance, it includes so much, the name, the life, the word, the riches, all of that. But it is by faith that it becomes manifested. Say by faith. We are still talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, he says, I commend you to the word of his grace. I commend you to the word concerning this unsearchable riches of Christ. I commend you to the word regarding his absolute sufficiency and provisions for you. I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Well, of course, faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. I commend you to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance in the saints. In other words, it will cause that inheritance to be made manifested. Amen? So I got to possess my inheritance? You can't do it without the word. The word of God is that vehicle. That is why it was saying, Jesus said in John 15, 17, you abide in me and my word lives and abides in you. You'll ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you. You will just decree a thing and it shall be established unto you and it will cause light to shine upon your pathways. God says, therefore, to Joshua, this is how it is. Here is how you're going to make your way prosperous. Here is how you can get a manifestation of healing, prosperity, wisdom, power to take these people across this Jordan and to inherit and to possess their inheritance. Here is how you're going to do it, Joshua. Don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate in it day and night so that you can get the revelation. Meditation produces revelation. Meditate in it day and night that you might, and then observe to do. Meditation will produce revelation. Revelation will cause motivation. And when you have motivation, you're going to take action. You will do. And then what happened? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night that you might observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then you will make your way prosperous and you're going to have good success. Why is that? Meditation produces revelation and revelation produces the motivation and motivation will move you to action. And then when you take action, bam, that's when you get fruit. Are you with me? So this is how it works. Amen. So what am I saying? So this word is your vehicle to the manifestation and the fulfillment of the promises of God and of this inheritance and of this grace. It is of faith that it might be by grace so that the promise is sure and guaranteed to all the seed. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Say it is by faith. So, and it is also, it is also according to purpose. It is according to purpose. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, how in Christ we have obtained an inheritance. Say, I got it. But I need it manifested. That's why the faith. Right? That's why the word. You got all the healing you could ever desire, but you need it manifested. So Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, in him you've obtained an inheritance. You got it. But then it goes on to say something to the extent, but that God does what he does according to his own pleasure and purpose, which is to say that inheritance that is yours is going to be released and is going to come into manifestation, but it's in harmony with his will. It is in harmony with his purpose. And his will is Christ. His will is doing the works of God. His will is making the enemies his footstool. His will is obedience. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So here you have this. The inheritance is in line with purpose. Right now, I don't need an airplane. You know why? What am I going to do with it? Where am I going to go? But let some doors open and let ministry get to the place where I need to be in Zambia in the morning. And then next day, I have to be in the Congo. And then the following day, in Brazil. I'm going to need a plane then for the purpose of getting the job done. And then at that time, hey, the inheritance for a plane could be released. But right now, I don't need it. Are you with me? But all that you need is already yours, and it is released according to purpose. Are you with me? Amen. That's good. I like that myself. It's according to purpose. All of it, it's according to purpose. And when you line up with the mind of Christ and let this mind be in you, where you see, I'm not here. I'm not here. It's not me. It's not about my will. It's not about my ambition. It's not about my desire. It's not about my goals. I don't have no goals. I don't have no ambition. You don't have no ambition? No, I don't have no ambition. Why? Because I'm not here. Dead men don't have ambition. Jesus wasn't concerned about his own reputation. He was obsessed with one thing, the will of the Father. He says, that's my meat, and so it is for you. It is his vision, his dream, his word, his promise, his desires, not yours. You're not here. How precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. God says, oh, I've been waiting for that. Now I can do what I really want to do. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Well, praise the Lord. But that is, so I'm saying, this stuff is released according to purpose. The purpose of God is the will of God. And let me come to you another way. The scripture says, there is no good thing God will withhold for them that walk uprightly. What does that mean? For them that walk correctly and uprightly in the gospel. How do you know that? Well, because it says in Philippians chapter 1, 27, to let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. In other words, let your conversation, your lifestyle, your believing, your speaking, your conduct, your attitudes be consistent with the gospel. Let it be consistent with the fact that Christ is living in you. Remember? He is the mystery, but he is also the will. And God says, you live that way? Man, there ain't no good thing I'm going to withhold from you. Why? Because you're walking upright in the gospel. Galatians 2 verse 14. Amen? This is what living in the Spirit is. Be led by the Spirit. Isaiah 48 verse, remember? This is part of the promise. Isaiah 48 verse 17 and 18 says that the Holy Spirit, he teaches us all things. And it also says he will teach us how to profit and lead us in the way which we shall go. He will even cause us to inherit so that he can demonstrate that he is God. He is your God. He is the God of covenant. He is the God that will show himself strong on the ones whose hearts are right towards him. That's talking about purpose. That's talking about will. That is talking about the fact that this is the will of God, even your sanctification. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Your mouth is not even your own. Your mouth is supposed to be an oracle of God. We are to be his mouthpiece. Hello? I'm talking sanctification. I'm talking holiness. But I'm also talking the will of God. I'm talking purpose. You see? So, be continually filled with the Spirit. Speak it to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual song. Build yourself up in the Holy Ghost. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, but it's according to the power that is at work within you. It is according to the power that is at work within you. All right, let me just move on here. Ephesians chapter, amen. We're going to wrap this up very shortly. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the comfort of the Holy Ghost. The liberty of Christ. All right, Ephesians chapter 3. So, Christ is in you. Paul says that he was called to preach and to declare and to reveal that we have a fellowship with this unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. We understand that mystery. It is Christ in us, which from the beginning of the ages had been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. What for? To this intent. Why all these unsearchable riches? Why the reality of Christ in you? What for? For this purpose. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers and devils and demons, the wisdom of God will be made manifest to them through us, the church, the body of the anointed one. So then, what does that mean? God says the reason Christ is in you and the reason Christ is to live through you is so that you can rule over the enemy. Amen? You can rule over the enemy. The will of God is that the enemy might be made his footstool. The will of God is that the devil might be bruised underneath your feet shortly. It is for that reason that it says, sing aloud on your bed. Take the word of God and put it in your mouth. Let it be like a sharp two-edged sword so that you can execute judgment upon the enemy. Amen? Say, I rule over the enemy. And then it goes on to say in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished. Say, he accomplished. That means it's done. According to the eternal purpose which God accomplished in Christ Jesus before the world began. What God accomplished in Christ Jesus, in our Lord, in Christ Jesus, that's why it's called the eternal purpose. It's from way back then. Remember, Jesus was slain from the foundation of the world? Remember that? Revelation 13, verse 8. Remember, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing according to he has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So according to the eternal purpose of God, these things are to be done. In other words, this execution of authority over the enemy, this revealing and speaking forth the wisdom of God, and all of that is being done totally in accordance to what has already been accomplished and finished in Christ. In other words, it is done based on the authority of the sacrifice of Christ. Amen? And then in verse 12. And as a result of that, guess what? In Christ, we have boldness. We've got access and we've got confidence. We've got boldness and access with confidence. We've got access and boldness and confidence to God. We can come boldly before the throne of grace by virtue of the blood and the finished work of Christ. Amen? We have boldness and access where the enemy is concerned because God has given unto us the keys of the kingdom. And Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Behold, I've given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. In my name you cast out devils. You rule over them. God will make them enemies underneath your, will bruise them underneath your feet shortly. We've got access to the kingdom of darkness to rule over them. We've got access where people are concerned. Are you to rule over people? No, but we got access. What do you mean we got access? Well, I'll tell you what it means. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 says, God says, we understand it on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God was poured out upon what? All flesh. Does that just mean it was only those in Jerusalem? It was an all flesh. I believe anybody else, anywhere in the world, the Spirit of the Lord came on them. So the Spirit of the Lord has been poured out upon all flesh. What does that mean? It means then it has been poured out upon all humanity, and anyone, anywhere today can hear and receive the gospel. God has put eternity within their heart. The desire of nations. They've got a capacity and a desire on the inside to know God. They want fellowship with God. They don't know that that's what they want. And sometimes they go chase it after a bottle of alcohol. They go chase it after being a workaholic. They go chase it in terms of success. They go chase it in other ways. But in actual fact, they have a hunger and a desire for God. God has placed that in their heart. God has poured out his Spirit upon all flesh. So when you and I come with the gospel, the good news, their hearts have already been prepared for it because the Spirit of the Lord has already come upon them. And God is able to save them to the uttermost. So we are the ones that publish his word. The word was given and great is the multitude of them that publish it. Hallelujah. We have got that responsibility and that charge to preach the gospel. How beautiful and among them are the feet of them that preaches good news, the gospel of peace, everything reconciled to God. Hallelujah. You and I are chosen. We are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, God's own purchased special people who are called and sent into the world. What for? To display the virtues and the perfections of him. We are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. What for? Isaiah 6, verse 2 says that there is darkness upon the world. There is darkness that is covering the earth, even gross darkness that is covering the people. But we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And you and I are here. We are there here as bearers of the glory of God. Romans chapter 8 verse 19 says, the earnest expectation of the creature. They are waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Hallelujah. So Jesus says to you and I in 2021, in John 2021, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. So what? We must preach the gospel. We must live the gospel. We must declare Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. We've got access to people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so it goes on to say, and then so Paul says, for this reason, and I'm going to close right here. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray for you. I pray for you because by the name of Jesus, the whole family in heaven and earth has been named. And I'm going to pray this exactly. I'm going to pray what he has right here. Right now, I'm going to pray for us all in Jesus' name. Because in this prayer, Paul was praying for the fact that we would become established in the truth, established in the nature of God. So, Father, right now, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, for everyone that would hear this, whether it's at a later time or even right now, I pray that by the power of the Holy Ghost, that you would grant unto us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened, to be empowered, to be energized by the might of the Holy Ghost in our innermost being, Lord God, and that Christ himself would dwell in our heart, not just in the spirit chamber, but that Christ would be formed in us, that he would take up residence in our mind, in our will, and in our emotions. Oh, Father, let us be so empowered by the Holy Ghost, Lord God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, by faith, Lord, and that we will become rooted and grounded in the love of God. We'll become rooted and grounded in your nature. We'll be established in righteousness. We'll be established in holiness. We'll be established in the fruit of your spirit. We'll be established in your wisdom. We'll be filled with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and in all understanding, that we would walk worthy of you, Lord, that we would walk upright and correctly in the reality of Christ within us, the hope of glory. Father God, that we would comprehend with all the saints what is the length, what is the breadth, what is the depth, what is the height, what is the dimensions, that we would so overflow in this manifold wisdom of God, and that you would be able to do exceeding abundantly, above and beyond anything that we could ever ask or think, according to this mighty power that is at work within us. In the name of Jesus. Grant it, Father. We thank you in the name of Jesus that we might be established in the nature of Christ, and that we would be persevering, diligent, persistent in pursuing this establishment, this anchorage, and grow from strength to strength by the Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.